And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Somewhere between a political tidal wave and a tsunami swept across America this week and carried away the oil slick politicos en masse. Yes, the big winner in this midterm election is sitting right in your backyard and out there in the woods and forests, along the coasts, deep in the oceans, the vast open spaces of the West. Consumers, people who drive cars, small business people, hunters and fishermen, people who breathe, people who think, people of all colors. It's all coming up, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Okay, everybody, breathe. We made it through. It seems as if the election worked. Lots and lots of earth-friendly candidates have replaced some legendary creeps. I tell you, there were a lot of people I knew who are waiting for the boot to fall, where despite the exit polls and best guesses of the pollsters, that old majority right-wing neocon bunch just keeps on keeping on. Well, it didn't happen. At least not yet. We're not out of the woods quite yet. Although the House appears to have a substantial majority, switching from a 232 to 202 Republican majority to a 223-185 Democratic majority, the Senate is still in limbo, and it looks like we just may be headed for yet another nasty vote-grabbing wrestling match, as power is never transitioned easily. Today we take a couple of looks at what this all means. I'm giving view on election 2006 following the news, then we talk with Chuck Porcari of the League of Conservation Voters with his assessment of the outcome of election 2006. And then in segment 3, I thought it might be good to hear an interpretation of how this whole Democratic and independent struggle began, as we talk with the Chief of Interpretation at 96 National Historic Park. It's definitely been a long, hard struggle, and it's good now and then to keep this all in perspective. So we've got a great show beginning, and as always, we kick things off with the news. So now, the news. In a stunning triumph of the will, the American people replace the Republican House with a Democratic House and await the tilt of power in the Senate, which hinges on one election separated by a mere 8,000 votes. Overwhelmingly, voters rejected anti-environmental candidates and voted for environmentally reasonable candidates in every state in the nation. With less than 2 months left of the Republican majority, some are expecting a rash of last-minute legislation and executive decisions to take the most from what is left of their time. With the shifting of majority leadership comes a dramatic shift in the power wielded by majority chairmanships on key committees. One of the most significant diminutions of committee power will occur as the chairman of the powerful House Resources Committee, Richard Pombo, is replaced by a yet-to-be-determined Democratic chair. Pombo has been a particularly looming target for environmentalists as he extolled the virtues of offshore oil drilling, oil exploration in Anwar, and the removal of protections provided by the Endangered Species Act in order to favor landowners. Sources say the oil and gas executives who had played a major role in bringing $2.5 million to his campaign will sorely miss him. When wildlife advocates warn of the potential decline of endangered species, it is generally projected on otherwise somewhat normal declining habitat or other predictable threats. But endangerment can come much more quickly when unusual factors come into play. In Indonesia, home to an estimated 56,000 orangutans in 2002, the most recent dry season has led to the unexpected death of over 1,000 orangutans due to smoke and the trauma resulting from their fleeing into villages to escape fires and to find food. villagers have been responsible for macheting many of the highly intelligent animals to death. The annual decline since 2002 has averaged over 6,000 individuals, thus reducing the total estimated population now to around 30,000. The species, therefore, is literally only a number of years away from potential extinction. As the ocean's fish stocks dwindle, Chinese fishermen are changing their catches increasingly to shark, which is highly prized for their shark fins, and now for shark meat. A sudden increase in shark catch is permitted, as there are currently no protective limits on shark. The same is true of rays, which are now being scooped up as well for consumption. Such sudden shifts in target catch species can quickly bring on a phenomenal decline in overall populations. A recent study published in the journal Science concludes that the oceans may be essentially void of fish stock by the year 2048. A flotilla of about 100 large Antarctic-born icebergs is making its way to waters south of New Zealand. New Zealand's maritime surveillance planes on fisheries patrol in the Southern Ocean spotted the floaters. The largest is estimated to be 1.2 by 0.9 miles with a height of 425 feet. Icebergs in this area are not uncommon, but the number this year seems unusually high. And finally, the United Nations and Africa's Nobel laureate, environmentalist Wangari Maathai, is spearheading a campaign to plant a billion trees worldwide to help fight global warming. Maathai's plan hopes to accomplish this daunting task within 1 year. She advocates that with over 6 billion people on the earth, even if only one-fifth of all people dug a hole, put in a tree, and watered it, the task could easily be realized. And that's the news. In a couple of weeks, we're going in-depth with one of the world's greatest naturalists as I have a long conversation with Dr. David Suzuki. He's led a most amazing life, entertained and educated us all, and now looks back on where he's been and where we're going. So keep reading your weekly email announcements about the upcoming shows. And if you'd like to get your weekly email update, you can become a friend. It's free by filling out the form from the participate link in the header of the webpage. And while you're at it, shoot me some show ideas or help support the Wildside News as a partner, sponsor, or underwriter. We are making a difference. 2 days ago, millions of Americans exercised their right and duty as citizens to head to the polls and vote. I believe, for the first time in my life, that I sense that we're finally really getting it, that we can make a difference, that voting does matter. It comes following some hard past elections when it seemed that the electoral process had been hacked or jimmy-rigged just enough to change the outcome. But amazingly, the memories of such realities as Mr. Blackwell in Ohio or buggy-eyed chat encounters in Florida just may have resulted in a determined vigilance that carried the day. The people overwhelmingly changed the tenor of our nation, rejecting a broad spectrum of some of the most fervent allies of the Bush administration. Apparently, despite the president's persistent chanting that things are going well, they aren't, and we knew it. And almost everyone blames the flounderings in Iraq as the reason for such an irrefutable demand for change. Now, the president used the opportunity to finally replace Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld by nominating Robert Gates, an old senior Bush crony with deep intelligence history that requires a thorough revisiting of the sordid Iran-Contra affairs. But the Gates nomination claimed prime news coverage on a day when its people had taken the country back. However, there's much more to the election sweep than just the detritus of a war gone bad. It was, as well, a powerful indication that Americans are very concerned about a much more holistic vision of the world in which dependence on oil obviously threatens the nation's security, in which the effects of a carbon-based energy may already have included the destruction of an American city from a first strike of global warming. And the people of the West and West Virginia are relegated to tertiary residence at best, as oil companies crowd their ranches with derricks and gas heads, and ancient mountaintops are lopped off to feed our current, much less our future, needs for energy. And these backdrops to the election must be brought center stage, as the will of the American people quietly and peacefully begins a long path to retake a most sacred sense of the American vision, restoring peace in the valley of the Purple Mountains' majesty from sea to shining sea. The 2006 midterm elections have no more deserving poster boy than the slippery friend of the oil tycoons, none other than Richard Pombo. Driven to success by vast coffers of cash and cachet from the captains of the exploitative classes, Richard Pombo was defeated not because he supported the president and his war, but because he supported the president's war on the lands and forests, wild places, and private peace of the average American masses. And they said enough. And the enough-sayers took to the land takers like scythes to the weeds, and cut them out and replaced them with a worthy new crop of men and women with dreams of sun and wind, clean air, and independence. And we can all breathe better now, and crawl back into the sun, and greet one another as equals and doers, and people of the land that spawned the great dream of liberty, justice, and the pursuit of peace, that has, at its best, served to inflame the light of freedom that may someday again inspire us all to a better and sustainable world. Congratulations, America. We did the right thing. In just a moment, we continue to uncover the right stuff of Election 2006 when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.